It is good to see you, as always. I hope that you've come with a heart that's ready to worship, a heart that is ready to learn and to be receptive unto what God has to share and say with us. Psalms chapter 24, verses 1 through 5, we're going to read together this morning. Talking about the topic of obedience. Obedience always brings blessings. Agree or disagree? Amen? Obedience always brings a blessing. So, I don't know. Some may disagree, some may agree. But we're going to look and see what the Word of God has to say about the issue and the topic. And we're going to see that if we're obedient, we do as God says and as God asks of us, if we're faithful and willing and to do as He asks and commands us to do, then good things will result. I hope that you have taken the time to get your three requests for me. If you remember last week, I asked you to write down the three things that if God could only bless us with three requests, what would the greatest three needs of our church be? I've not received any of those yet, but hopefully there's some either in the offering plate or you deliver them to me personally. But it's not an option, okay? It's not optional. I'm telling you to get those to me. You know, last week I asked you, so now I tell you. You know, sometimes I come to find that in my professional life and in ministry, that sometimes you just have to tell people what you want them to do rather than to ask them what you would like them to do. So I'm telling you, I want you to pray about it, and I want you to get me three things that our church so desperately needs God to do in the life of our church. And there's a list that could be a mile long about the prayer needs that we have in our church. So I've not gotten any of those outside of one. I've had one sent to me yesterday. So I just ask that you please get those to me. And there again, talking about obedience. You know, if we're not willing to be obedient to pray and ask God to move in the life of our church, then I'm a firm believer that we get what we ask for. Amen? We get what we ask for. Psalms chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. If you find your place in the reading of the Word of God, stand with me. Here we have a psalm of David, and it reads this way. It says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from God for His salvation." Let's pray, and you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the day that You've blessed us with. Lord, this time and this opportunity to come and to be here in Your place, to fellowship and to worship with You, Lord. Father, I just but pray that You take this time to speak boldly and clearly to our hearts. Lord, speak to us a message of obedience, Lord, and motivate our hearts, Lord, as we come into this season, moving into 40 days of prayer, that we will be obedient and faithful to pray for the needs of our church. That we, Lord, will be faithful and obedient to pray for revitalization and growth and renewal. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here today who's never known You in the free pardon of sin, who's lost and undone, that before it be everlasting too late, that they would be obedient unto Your call of salvation, and that today they would be saved. Lord, I pray likewise if there's a Christian here among You, Lord, that is in need of rededication. Lord, a Christian who's in need of Your healing touch. Lord, a Christian here who just needs to give their life and their heart back over to You, that today will be that day. Father, Lord, I pray that You use me as a mouthpiece and a tool, and nothing more, for Your honor and for Your glory, because it's all about You and what You choose to do through me. Lord, Father, I pray for our church. Lord, I pray that you take this church and you make it into what you would have it to be. Lord, I know in my heart, I feel in my heart, this church has a responsibility to do great and to do mighty things. Lord, Father, I just pray that you will take the hearts of the obedient, Lord, and that you will bless us. That, Lord, Father, the hearts of the obedient will motivate others to be more like you. So, Father, Lord, teach us, speak to our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and just lead, guide, and direct every aspect of this service. We give it all to you. We place it at the foot of your cross, Lord. And it's in your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Turn the volume down a little bit. Thank you. Obedience always brings a blessing. Whether you agree, whether you disagree, whether you say, I don't know, I'm here to tell you that we as God's people, if we are obedient to what He tells us to do, to what He commands us to do, then He's going to bless us. And as we move into a season of 40 days of prayer, and talking about messages in the weeks to come about prayer specifically, what prayer does, what prayer can do in the life of a church, what prayer can do for a sinner, what prayer can do in the life of a nation, we've got to know this about prayer, is we've got to be obedient to do it. You know, that's one of the hardest parts about prayer, is being committed, being dedicated, willing to be obedient to pray as God wants us to pray. And that's what we're going to look at next week. We're going to talk about how we pray, how that Jesus taught us to pray as His people, as His followers, and as the church. God promises a blessing for those, it says in the Scriptures we read, who are pure at heart, who have clean hands. In other words, for those who are obedient. Who ascends to the hill of the Lord? It says those who are pure in heart, those with a clean hand, those who are obedient to do as God says. But what is a blessing? You know, we talk about blessings all the time. You know, we pray, God, would you bless me? God, bless our church. God, do this. God, do that. We all the time seem to continually talk about this blessing, but does anybody ever really answer that question of what a blessing is? How do you define a blessing? As a church, when we ask for God's favor and pray for His blessing, what do we mean? What do we really want? You know, I believe that one way to define obedience as far as asking for blessings is this. A blessing might be any expression of God's love and His goodness towards us. I don't know about you, but I think that's probably a fairly good definition of what a blessing is. God's blessing is that expression of His love and His goodness to us. I think that God blesses us more than we care to realize sometimes, does He not? If a blessing is anything that would be God's love and His goodness to us, we're some of the most blessed people that have ever walked the face of the earth. We live in a nation and a country where we can come and worship freely God. We are a people whom that if we want to invite Christ into our heart and our lives and be saved, we can do that. Why? Because God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, regardless of race, creed, skin color, socioeconomic status, that whosoever would accept Him into their heart and their life, they might be saved. God has blessed us beyond measure. God is good. Amen? God is good. Sometimes when God speaks or calls, it just seems that He's being unreasonable. You know, in service to God, I can think of times in my life where I have felt as if God was being unreasonable. That God was asking too much of me as a person or as an individual. Too much as a preacher. Too much as a Christian. Too much as a follower. And for some of you all, you may think that writing a list of three things that God so desperately needs and wants us to pray about is a little unreasonable. That may be too much to fit in to your heavy schedule this week. You know, for some, you're going to say, there's no way that I can dedicate 10 minutes of my life every day for the next 40-some days in a few weeks to pray for church revitalization and to pray for church growth. And that's going to be the attitude of some people in any church that you go to. Some of you will be faithful. Some of you will have a desire and the want to. But some of you will say, that's just unreasonable. I can't pray every day for 40 days. You know, the Word of God tells us this. It tells us to pray without ceasing. To never cease, to never stop in your prayers. And in today's society, in today's world, we have gotten to the point where we feel it is unreasonable that we should even pray but for a short amount of time. You know, we feel that it's unreasonable that when we come to church that we would be asked to do something. You know, church for so many people has become all about what God can do for me. Church has become this attitude of, God, how can you bless me? We have forgotten that the essence of church is how we serve Him and how He asks us to serve others. Our attitudes about church, our attitudes about service, our attitudes about obedience is just upside down. We think that the request of God, what He calls us to do, what He commands us to, is oftentimes unreasonable. And maybe you think that I am unreasonable. I don't know. I may be slightly unhinged. I've been told that more than once. But I don't believe that asking us as a church to pray faithfully and obediently that God would revive us is a bad thing. And I don't believe it's unreasonable. I believe it's well within the reason of what God would want us to do. Obedience is still required for God to bless. I don't care how unreasonable that you think God's requirement upon us is. Obedience is still required. You know, I come from this old school of policing. When my supervisor, when my sergeant, or my lieutenant tells me to do something, I do it. I don't question it. I may not always agree with it. I may do it differently or would have done it differently. But I just do it. Why? Because of obedience. We forget the importance of obedience. In society and in the world today, we have forgotten, and as Americans, it's a little bit in our nature to want to do things the way that we want to do things. The way that we feel is best, the way that we choose. It's hard for us sometimes to want to do things the way that God commands us and that God tells us that we're going to do it, even in the midst of how unreasonable that it may sound. I can think back over the Old Testament, and I did in writing this message and preparing my heart for it. I thought back over the Old Testament and the New Testament about the times in which God asked men and women to do what probably seemed like unreasonable things. You know, I think about Noah. We all know that story, right? We all know the story of Noah, and we know that God told Noah that there was a flood. But there was going to be one, and that God's judgment was going to be poured out on the world. Now, I don't get into, this is a message unto itself, but does everybody pretty well understand that prior to the time of Noah, that rain didn't fall upon the earth as it did as we know it now? Does everybody gather that? Everybody understand that? Everybody gather that from the story of Noah? You know, rain fell upon the earth for the very first time in that story. So it was unfathomable to some people, how that rain could fall for 40 days and bring about a flood across the world. But God came to Noah, and He told Noah, and Noah prepared. Did He not? He prepared. And what did Noah do? He built an ark. To some people in the world, it seemed unreasonable that Noah would build an ark. But thankfully, Noah didn't think that God was being too unreasonable in His request, and he was obedient unto God. And he built that ark exactly as God told him to build it. Does everybody understand that? If you remember the story, Noah built it exactly to the specification of which God told him to build it. Cubit for cubit, inch for inch, foot for foot, diameter for diameter, the ark was built as God commanded him to do it. And what was the blessing? The blessing was that Noah and his family and those who were obedient and life continued on in this world. God showed His love and His mercy and His grace because Noah was obedient. You know, I think about the story of Moses. Everybody remembers that story, right? Right. Kendall remembers it. The story of Moses. You know, God told Moses to go back into a place of bondage where he had come from, serving as royalty, living in the royal house, and he told Moses to go and free my people. Go and free my people. And maybe even to Moses that seemed like an unreasonable request. It was definitely going to be a difficult one. Amen? To go to a man who has enslaved an entire race of people nearly, and to call upon him just to let those slaves go free. A culture and a society that was almost entirely based on slave labor, to just let them go free. But Moses was obedient unto God. And he went, and he asked, and he preached, and he prophesied, and God did all of the hard work. But what happened? God blessed the Israelites, and He led them out of bondage, and ultimately into the promised land. A number of years later, but ultimately into the promised land. Why and how? Because Moses was obedient. He went and he did as God asked of him to go and to do. In the life of David, whom that we've talked about for the last several weeks, even in the midst of a season in David's life when he was disobedient unto God, David had a life that was filled with examples of obedience. Times when David was told to go and wage war against unfathomable odds. Odds that would have killed anybody else but not David. Why? Because God told him to do it and he was obedient and God's blessing was that he survived. God told David to stand up and to become king. And guess what? God blessed David as he took the throne of Israel. Why? Because David was obedient. I think about the New Testament. I think about men like Peter, James, and John who had lived their entire lives as fishermen. They had this culture, this society of where they were reliant upon the sea, and they had jobs, and they were decent jobs considering the period in history in which they lived. So they had a stable life, they had a stable income, they had their families, and they had this family business. But when Jesus came to them, He says, "I want to make you fishers of men, lay down your nets and follow Me." And that was all that it took, and they were obedient, and they laid down their nets, they gave up their lifestyle, and they followed Jesus. And they became His disciples, and God blessed their ministries richly. And the New Testament church is what it is today because of men like Peter, James, and John. I think about men like Paul. Paul was asked to be obedient unto God when Christ came to him on the road to Damascus. He called and commanded of him to go and be a preacher of the Word, to tell everybody what you have seen and what I have done. Probably to many, and even to Paul, it probably seemed unreasonable that he, a man of the court, he, a man of the law, a man who was literally in the process of going to persecute Christians when he saw Christ on the road to Damascus, that he would become a preacher of the Word of God. But he was obedient. And most of the Episcopals of the New Testament today we have because of God's blessing on Paul. Don't tell me that being obedient doesn't bring blessings. Being obedient brings about the favor of God. Church, it's important to know God's will always blesses. But I want you to know this. Sometimes He blesses differently from what we expect. You know, we as a church, we pray for the blessing of God. We as individuals, we pray for the blessing of God. And being obedient to God, doing as God commands us, as God tells us, will bring about blessings. But sometimes the blessings that you and I receive, they're different from the blessings that we prayed for or maybe that we even expected that we might would get. Anybody ever experienced that in their life? Something that you prayed for, something that you asked for, something that you just desired that God would do in your life, and God did something in your life, but it wasn't exactly as you wanted. It wasn't exactly as you requested, or maybe it was the total opposite of what you wanted. Sometimes we as His people can't even begin to understand what we really truly need in our lives. We ask of this and we ask of that, but God knows better. And there's times in our life that God doesn't give us what we ask for. And later down the road we see and realize and understand that that was the greatest blessing that God could have ever done for us, was to fail in answering what we ask of Him. Think back to when you were young. If you were pretty young, you may not have been in love with, at the time, the person that you're currently sitting next to now. Has anybody experienced that? You were young, you were in high school, and you just knew that you loved Susie. Or you just knew that you loved Johnny. And maybe you just even prayed to God that God would put the two of you together. But He didn't. And you got what you got, and you're with what you're with. And now, you see Johnny at the grocery store, and you see Susie and in her workplace, and you just thank God. You just thank God that you're not with Susie and Johnny and you got what you got and you're with what you're with. God's like that sometimes. In the moment, we oftentimes don't realize God's wisdom and His knowledge. God blesses obedience, but sometimes He blesses in manners and in ways that we do not expect. You know, sometimes God's blessings are not oftentimes as prevalent or as miracle-like as we expect them to be. You know, sometimes God's blessings come very simplistically. Sometimes God's blessings come in the forms of things like peace. And I've said these three things before, but I say them again. Because you have no idea how great that peace really is until you don't have peace anymore. I believe that the greatest blessings that God probably gives us as Christians and as followers is blessings of peace. Not turmoil. Not heartache, not sadness. Not constant stress, not depression. But peace. And when you have anxiety, when you have depression, when you have those emotions that just run wild in your heart and in your life and in your mind, you understand how difficult that it is to bear those feelings. Sometimes God's best blessings is to just give you peace. Just peace. You know, sometimes God's greatest blessings is joy. And I believe this, I believe if God is good enough to bless you with peace, then He'll bless you with joy. And you'll get joy because if you've never had peace, or you had peace and then you've been in turmoil, you know how good it is to be in peace, and when you get there, you'll be joyous about it. Sometimes we're just not satisfied with the simplistic things in life. We feel that God just has to come down and make this miraculous movement. And God does move miraculously. I believe with all of my heart that God still heals people. I believe with all of my heart that God does mighty and great things. And I'm not overestimating the power of God or underestimating the power of God to do those things. But sometimes we forget how powerful that God really is, and He can provide us with peace. That He can provide us with joy, that we can truly be happy. And I believe joy is a great part of that. If you have joy, I believe you can say that you're really, truly happy in a lot of ways. I know so many people that are miserable. They have no peace. They have no joy. And they're miserable. They're miserable at their job. They're miserable at home. They're miserable when they come to church. They're miserable when they wake up. They're miserable when they go to bed. They have no joy and they have no peace. You know, the third thing I believe God will bless us with that we often overlook is contentment. Contentment. Some people in this world just cannot be content. It's always that new job. It's always that pay raise. It's always that new home. It's always that next vacation. It's always something on the horizon. People just can't be content with where they're at, with what they have, and what God has done. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I would just settle for peace, joy, and contentment. To heck with everything else. Amen. Peace, joy, and contentment. You know, God blesses us in all types of ways and in all types of manners. You know, sometimes God's blessings will come in the form and in the manner of improved relationships. You know, I believe as a church, we have got to come together and improve our relationships. To improve our relationships with each other, to improve our relationships with one another here in this church, but even more so than that, to improve our relationship with the community. Why? Because it is the community here for which we are servants. We forget that. We forget that as church members, and as a church, we are servants to God, but we also become servants of the community and the servants of those that are around us. Why? Because God has called and commanded us that we would go forward to teach and to preach the gospel and to meet the needs of those in the community. We are called to be His servants. And I believe as we pray for revival, I believe as we are obedient to go through 40 days of prayer, with all of my heart, I believe that God is going to improve relationships. Our relationships and our relationship with the community. I believe if we're obedient to these 40 days of prayer and praying to God that He rebuild and regrow our church, that He truly will grow our faith. That's one of the greatest blessings that I hope this church garners from what we're about to go through. Is that He improve our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but not yet seen. It's hard to pray sometimes, because prayer is all about faith, the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. We are an evidence-based society. As people and as individuals, we want to see the proof, right? Right? Yes, we want to see the proof. Show me. Convince me. Make me believe it. When I go to court to present a case, that's what it's all about. That's what judges and that's what attorneys and that's what juries even want to hear. They want to hear the evidence. Show me. Make me believe it. That's why prayer is so hard. Because we're praying for things that haven't happened yet. We're praying for God's favor. We're praying for God's blessing. We're hoping. We're hoping that God is going to move. We're hoping, we're believing that God can work and do mighty things, but we haven't seen it yet. And we don't know exactly how, and we don't know if God is really going to move, and we question. Because we can't see, we begin to question if He will. We begin to question, can He? We begin to question, does He care? I promise you that He does. I promise you that He listens. But I tell you this, we must have faith and be obedient in our faith. God will also bless us by granting us sometimes with what we ask for. Not all the time, not in every instance, but there are times where God will bless us with exactly what we ask for. There are also times when God will curse us with what we ask for. I've said it many times. Be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you pray for. God, I pray that You just use me in a mighty way. Be careful what you pray for. God's use of you may be far greater than you ever thought that it would possibly be, and it may be more than what you feel as you want to do. And when you pray, God, use me in a mighty way, God might call you to somewheres that you don't necessarily want to be, amongst people that you don't necessarily like, in a part of the world that you don't want to be. Be careful of what you pray for, because sometimes God will give you exactly what you ask for. And to us, it may even seem unreasonable. God also gives us eternal blessings. God's blessings don't just stop here in this life and in this world, but God's blessings far exceed it. God's eternal blessings, I believe, include knowledge. You know, God is so good to bless us with knowledge and to bless us with wisdom. Mark chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says it this way. He says, "And he says unto them, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, there arose around him with the 12, ask him about the parables." And if you read on in that chapter, what happened? Jesus told them. So tell us about these parables. Tell us about these things that you say, Lord. And the Lord sat there and he began to express and to share with them exactly what he meant. Exactly what he said. And he blessed them with knowledge. Sometimes we don't understand how powerful knowledge really is. You know, we don't understand that God is so willing through the Spirit to lead us and to teach us and to help us understand the things that we don't understand in this life and in this world. But when is the last time that you read something in the Word of God that you couldn't understand and then you asked God to reveal it unto you? Let me go back a step. When is the last time you just read God's Word, okay? I'm not trying to be facetious and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings and I'm not trying to be mean. I just want to be realistic with you because we talk about obedience. Most of us can't ask God for knowledge about His Word because we fail to read it. Because some of us don't know the last time we read His Word. Some of us don't know the last time we had a sincere talk with God. God gives us eternal blessings. Knowledge is one of them. His disciples asked and He told them. He also blesses us with things that are far greater than this world. You know, we think that God's blessings are all about the here and the now. God's true blessings really don't even come in this world and in this life. The greatest blessings of God we gain when He calls us home. The greatest blessings, the greatest gifts that God has to give us, we receive when we can see Him face to face. That'll be a day. People write songs about it. You know, one songwriter basically asked it this way, you know, what will I do? Will I sing? Will I dance? Will I fall before your face? You know, others have written and expressed, you know, how will I act in the presence of God? You know, the Word of God says that He will be so great as we stand before the Lamb, all we will be able to do is sing, holy, holy, holy. And that's it. Why? Because His grace and His mercy is so abundant and so good. All we can do is just say, holy. God really is that good. God's mercy and His grace and His blessings really are that great. You know, we pray for blessings and God will bless with our obedience. But sometimes we don't always get it like we wanted or like what we thought. Obedience always brings a blessing, but I also want you to know that there's so often a hardship in the process of the blessing. Wow, that probably just turned a lot of people off. Why do I want to pray for God's blessing if I have to endure hardship to get it? Suffering is a part of obedience. Suffering is a part of being a follower of Christ. Anybody like to suffer? Sign me up, right? Sign me up. I like to suffer. I don't know how else to say it but this. Jesus told His disciples, He says, men will hate you and despise you and seek to kill you because you proclaim to be followers of me. Jesus told his disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. He says, yoke bearing isn't easy. The Apostle Paul says, to become a living sacrifice before God. A sacrifice to be a living one. You know what the greatest problem with living sacrifices are? Anybody? The problem with a living sacrifice is when the suffering gets started, they magically begin to crawl off the altar or come down from that cross or lay that cross down and say, you know what? This is harder than I thought it really could be. I don't want to do this anymore. That's the problem with living sacrifices. Living sacrifices have the choice to say, I don't want to. This is too hard. I don't want to deal with this, or this is unreasonable. And I'm not doing this anymore. And that's the attitude of a lot of God's people today. Is we can't because it's just unreasonable, it's too hard, I don't have the time, or it's difficult, whatever the case may be. But I want you to know this, suffering is a part of obedience. Jesus never said, following me is easy. Jesus never said, following me will always make aspects of your life better. Frankly, in following Jesus, your life on this earth will become much more difficult. Why? Because narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. But wide is the gate that leads to destruction. It's not easy. Receiving God's favor, receiving His blessing, requires obedience. And obedience means that we are going to have to suffer. We're going to have to be that living sacrifice. We're going to have to bear our cross. But why? That's the question that we all love to ask. But why? Why do I have to suffer? Jesus suffered for me. That's right. He suffered and He bore the cross and He died for you and I. But why do I have to suffer in serving Him? I want to tell you why we suffer. Sometimes we as a church, we have to suffer through obedience because it brings us to the end of ourselves. Do you hear me? It brings us to the end of ourselves. Do you know who your greatest enemy is today? It is you. Your greatest enemy, my greatest enemy, this church's greatest enemies, it's you, it's me, it is us. Church, sometimes we need that suffering because we need to come to the end of ourselves. You know, I believe that John the Baptist probably said it the best. He says, I must decrease that He may increase. When is the last time that you put your life in perspective of that? When is the last time that you thought, said, or agreed, I need less of me so that there can be more of God? That goes against everything that society says today. Society says you need to be the better you. You need to be the bigger you. And there's people out there who make a fortune on writing books so that you can be the better you. Instead of being the better you, how about make it the better part of God in your life? How about make it less of you and more of Him? Why do we suffer? We have to suffer sometimes because suffering keeps us from a prideful fall. A prideful fall. What do I mean by that? Is sometimes we have to suffer because if we didn't, our pride would just become too great. Take heed lest you fall. Sometimes we get this attitude that it's because of what I have done. We get the I syndrome. Does anybody know anybody that suffers from that? I did this or I did that. Would you like to see what I have done? Would you come here and look, I want to show you what I have done. And some people have a wall. Some people have multiple walls, or some people have an entire room in their house that is just dedicated to everything that they have done. If you have one of those rooms, you need less of you and more of Him. Amen? There's some people who become consumed with that I factor. I want to tell you something. You have done nothing that God hasn't let you do. You have done nothing that God hasn't let you do. Sometimes we endure suffering because it keeps us from our pride. We endure suffering because it brings us to the end of ourselves. It helps us decrease that He might increase. But suffering also brings us to the point that it gives us a better understanding of who He is. In some small part, we get to see and understand how Christ suffered for us. You see, Christ suffered publicly. Christ suffered privately. Christ suffered in every fathomable way that you can imagine. The greatest was publicly, undoubtedly. He was ridiculed because of what He said. He was ridiculed because He says, "I am the Son of God." They made fun of Him in His latter days as they slapped Him upside the head, as they put a crown of thorns upon His head, as they put a sign above His cross that says, "King of the Jews." He suffered. We suffer, and our suffering is in no comparison, none whatsoever, to what Jesus Christ did for us. Why should we suffer? If for nothing else, I believe we should suffer that we have an understanding, at least some understanding, of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus, who was perfect, perfect, no sin, no fault, suffered. You tell me, better yet, you tell God, why you shouldn't suffer for the cause of following Him. If His only begotten Son, who was perfect, had to come and suffer humiliation, had to come and suffer being separated from Him, had to come and suffer a criminal's death on the cross, you tell me why you shouldn't suffer if God's Son Christ, who is perfect, had to suffer the same in service to Him. Obedience brings us the blessings that are chosen by God. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it's not what we expect. Sometimes it's not what we want. It's not what we prayed for. It's not the direction that we think our life should go. It's not the way we want the church to function and to grow and to do as we think. But know this, obedience brings the blessings that are chosen by God. I'm sure that some in this process of church revitalization already have in their mind what they feel like ought to happen, how it should be done, and what needs to take place. God doesn't bless that way. Obedience brings blessings that are chosen by God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says it this way. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." If you love God and you're called for His purpose, God's going to bless. If you're obedient, if you're faithful, if you're willing, and you love God and you're called for His purpose, and you do, God is going to bless. I want you to know this. God knows best as to what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. God knows best as to what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. In the process of this revitalization, you, me, nobody, I don't want us to force or feel that we can force something that God hasn't orchestrated or that God hasn't laid out for the life of our church. We can do anything. We can do anything we want to do. We can create this ministry. We can create this. We can create that. We can go about it in all these different ways. But if we don't do it God's way, it'll fail. If we don't give it to God, it'll never be right. He knows best as to what we need, when we need, and how we need it. God cannot bless until you're obedient. God can't work until you're willing to work as He tells us to work. in the simplest manner, and in the simplest way that I know how to explain it is this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says it this way. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, come count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach to repentance. He's not slow concerning His promise. God moves upon His times table when and how He feels that we need it. But He says this, true obedience starts with a relationship of giving your heart and your life to Him. It's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what it says. Not wishing that any should perish. It is His will that every single person would be saved and know Him and have a relationship with Him personally. The first step of truly being obedient to Him is being obedient through salvation and giving your life to Him. You can't do anything for God. You can't make anything right. You can't have any peace. You can't have any joy. You can't have any contentment until you're first willing to repent and give your heart and your life to Him. Period. Church, that's where obedience begins. Maybe you're here and you're saved. If you're here and you're saved, your obedience for anything else in the life of this church cannot take place until you're willing to be obedient for what God is asking you to do. If God is calling you to do, then you have to do. God's not going to bless you until you do it. Period. If God is calling you to rededicate your life, to be more faithful to Him, God is not going to bless you until you do it. If God is calling you to surrender, God is not going to bless you until you do it. Do you get the theme? I can go on for 15 more minutes if you need me to. But if not, and you get it and you understand, we'll draw this message to a close. If God is working on your life, whatever it is, He's not going to bless you until you're obedient. Do as He says. Come and surrender. Come and give your heart and your life to Jesus. Say, Lord, here am I. Come and rededicate your life to Him. Come and repent and confess of that sin that you know that you need to confess of, that is holding you back, and God is calling you and urging you to lay it down, to put it aside. You come. As our praise team comes, let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your mercies. We thank You for Your grace. Lord, we thank You that You loved us so much that Your Son was obedient to Your call. And He came and He died on the cross for us that we might go free. Lord, when we think about obedience, Lord, I've talked about all these people, but Lord, I can't even begin to fathom the obedience of Your Son. You told Your Son, who was perfect, unblemished, to come to this earth and to become sin so that He might die and that we might go free. Of all of the things that might seem unreasonable in this life, Lord, that probably is the most unreasonable task that You've ever asked anybody to do. But Jesus was obedient because He loved You. And He came and He lived His life and He became sin who knew no sin, and He died that we might go free. Lord, I pray that others here today see how great that Your obedience was and the blessing that Your obedience brings. It brought us salvation. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's someone here who has never known You, Lord, and I know You're working on hearts right now, I pray that today, right now, in this time, in this invitation, Lord, that they will come, give their life to You. Lord, I pray that if there's a Christian here, and I know they are, I know there are Christians here who have unconfessed sins. Lord, I know there are Christians who are teetering on that brink of just coming and rededicating their life to You. Lord, if there are Christians here who just, they feel that call, Lord, they feel that call to come and surrender their lives, to be faithful. Lord, to just get back on track with You. Lord, I pray that they will come and they'll give their heart and their life back over to You and say, Lord, I surrender it all. Lord, I pray for obedience among Your people today. That's where we have to start. In our prayer life, in this process of revitalization, right here, right now, we've got to be sold out to obedience. We give it all to You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.